Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network with you guys on a beautiful, hopefully it's beautiful where you are, Trevor. I'm sure it's going to be beautiful here in Pennsylvania.
It's always beautiful, you know, between the hours of 6:30 and 6:40 when it's not 90 degrees. Then the second that sun actually starts creeping over, it's just hot.
Oh, you have sun there. I didn't realize that was – I thought, honestly, that was not a thing anymore. I didn't know if that was just a Pennsylvania thing or a world thing, but we haven't seen it here in probably close to 2 weeks, so yeah.
It could not be me.
Desperate times. You guys aren't getting hit with any rain then. Well, you said it always rains there, but
– Between 3 and 5 p.m. every day it rains. That's it.
Literally every day are you being like Trevor hyperbole?
No, I swear. Not in like every single location – But it's not like a storm the size of the state of Florida.
Just where you are, like a rain cloud literally following you around?
No. What am I, like a Charlie Brown character or something? Just raining all the time.
I was wondering if you would pick that up. That's a little old school.
There you go.
I wasn't sure. I'm only like less than a year older than you, I think. So I guess we were on the same wavelength there. We're going to talk about quarterback play today. College football quarterback play, particularly that of draft-eligible players, particularly that of one Jarrett Stidham from Auburn, redshirt junior, who still technically could go back to school, and maybe he should, given the fact that he's fallen flat on his proverbial face every time Auburn has needed him to step up and be the guy in every big game, and how many opportunities did he have against LSU when that Auburn defense wasn't letting the Tigers do anything all game long, and he couldn't get it done. I mean, time after time, he struggled, and it wasn't just inaccurate. It was poor decisions. It was slow processing, the inability to go through progressions, panicking in clean pockets. It's just looking rough for Jarrett Stidham right now, man. I don't know that I definitely don't get the QB1 hype. I'm not the first round hype just seems crazy to me. Where is the love coming from on Stidham? What is it?
I can't remember who recently put this out. Did Matt Miller say that he had heard that like he was getting like round one considered? Okay, so here's
not
the thing
round one consideration. Matt like Miller QB1? Reported that what he was hearing from his NFL sources was that Jarrett Stidham was the most likely quarterback to come off the board. Obviously, we're a long way away from that.
Yeah, so here's
the
thing.
I'll honestly be floored.
Here's the thing for Jarrett Stidham, if that's the case. Go. Like it's not even close.
Oh, yeah,
go.
But I don't think it's true, but go ahead.
I mean, I kind of think it is. The NFL does stupid stuff all the time.
Yeah,
what pick did Josh Allen go last year?
Sure, but here's the thing. Josh Allen had unreal tools. And maybe they talked themselves into the rest of it because he was a great kid. And on the whiteboard, he did good things.
Yeah, but you can talk yourself into anybody.
Right, but
what
do you talk yourself into with Jarrett Stidham?
I don't know. EJ Manuel went in the first round, John.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's say they've learned some lessons from that point. Also, he went outside of the top 15.
Couldn't be my NFL learning lessons.
But he went outside of the top 15, right? He was like the 16th overall pick. There hasn't been a quarterback since 2000 that's fallen out of the top five. I mean, there's been at least one quarterback in the top five of every draft class since 2000, except for the EJ Manuel year. So expecting a quarterback to fall further than that was unrealistic. So it was still like a drastic drop off for a quarterback in that class. Was it still dumb to take him in the first round? Sure. But at that point in the draft, it was probably second. You're talking about most teams at least for sure had a second round grade on a guy that falls that far at a position that important. So I do think that the context is important for some of these different situations.
He's not going to get, I don't, well, see,
what
I don't
is
think
there
he gets
to talk
better.
Yourself
I don't
into
think he's going to get better. I don't
Stidham?
Think he's going to get better.
No.
Yes.
Right. Because so what do you talk yourself into with him? That's my question. With Josh Allen, you could talk yourself into, he came from a Mountain West Conference offense without a ton of, you know, granted, there isn't a ton of NFL talent around him, and protection was shoddy at times, and he has unbelievable tools and athleticism and size.
Yeah, but
okay,
enough
so
about
the
Bills.
You can talk yourself in. Well done. But you can talk yourself into that upside, right? Like, I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get why you talked yourself into it. What is there with Jarrett Stidham? What?
Could the Bills win the Mountain West?
Jared Stidham has never made a throw that were Josh Allen's peak throws. So while That's yes, true. He's more yeah. consistent.
What was it?
There
what was
isn't
it with
any
Jared Stidham?
Upside.
Was it that Alabama game? The first half of that Alabama game? Was that it?
I mean, maybe he did some
Is it the
okay
one I was thinking
things,
of?
But again,
no.
Last
but I'm
year's
just
offense,
wondering where the hype comes from because yeah. I'm with you. We watch this guy every single week, and it's like, okay, Jared Stidham does some things that you might like within a Gus Malzahn offense. He'll move the ball a little bit. Auburn will score. Sometimes he'll put the ball in nice places, but other times, obviously, the consistency is just not there with it. On a throw-to-throw basis, you can't count on
right.
this guy to be the guy that you think that he is over the course of what he's been the starter. So this is his second year at Auburn, correct?
Correct.
He could have a third one. Mm-hmm. But if it's Gus Malzahn who's still going to be the head coach, things aren't going to change. It's a bubble screen, a slant, or a go route. Which one is it?
Sure. And the this pit. Year, they have tried to open things up, and especially against LSU, I felt like they had him drop back, full field type progressions, actual route combinations.
You just don't read a defense in that kind of offense.
You do
you just don't
now.
Do it.
They're doing more things.
Yeah,
they're asking him to be the guy.
But how often? Like if you are running what Gus Malzahn traditionally runs with how fast Auburn plays and how fast he can get the ball out of his hands and how we know they just want to get the ball into the hands of their playmakers. If you throw in like an NFL type play call once in a while, that still doesn't mean anything to me because you're still operating under a certain offense and then just trying to like spice it up, I guess, for your guy
Maybe,
who might
but they're
be the
also
NFL
practicing it then, that would seem to indicate. So he's getting reps at it. It's not, totally
it's
foreign to
first,
him.
No, I'm not saying it's his first time seeing it, but you know what I'm like, I just don't I don't know how much progression. I said this at the beginning of the year. I said this going into the year about Jared Stidham. I had questions about him, and I have no idea how he's going to get over them while he's at Auburn. Because Auburn has one wide receiver. It's Darius Slayton.
Well, actually, that's not
who's
true.
At 18, dude? Who's that 18, dude?
I don't Number know 18? Who 18 is, but I would say Auburn has like five good receivers, to be honest. At least like college football talented receivers. Like Will Hastings is a good route runner. Ryan Davis might get drafted ahead of Darius Slayton,
oh,
to be
Ryan
honest.
Davis. Ryan Davis. Ryan Davis.
They have some talent. They do.
Okay, you're right.
Craig
you're right,
Myers
right.
is there, too. I have Nate Craig
that
Myers.
That was a little. All right, that was oversighted. But
at the same time, I think you are right. Those guys have run three routes. Those guys
yeah,
have run.
I just don't see it.
Right. So. But at the same time, dudes were open, and his first read was covered, and he was panicking. And
how much are they going to let that be a crutch for Jared Stidham?
The NFL, you mean?
Saying that Auburn's offense isn't
not this year, not the way that it's looked like this year. That
man,
and that's
you
the
have
biggest thing.
Way too much faith in the NFL.
No, I don't have faith in them, but I understand what they look for. I'm not saying they don't mess it up. It's like with Josh Allen. I get what they look for. Did they mess it up? I think they did. But I understand what they look for. I've studied and looked at what they consider important at the quarterback position. I don't think that's Jared Stidham. I don't think. Jared Stidham, to me, is more in the vein of the guys that the media hypes up every single year thinking
yeah,
the NFL
yeah.
will like. And
he
then
came from,
draft day rolls around and he ends up going round three at best.
He came from Baylor, right?
Yes.
Was that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
See, that's my perspective on it is that he will be a guy that gets media hype, a la Tom Savage, a la, what's his name, Davis Webb, who else from last year's draft, Luke Falk. I mean, we heard Luke Falk could go first round. We heard Luke Falk was a second round lock. We heard all this BS, so many of these guys over the years. And rarely does it actually go down that way with quarterbacks like Stidham because – teams care about guys that are tough in the pocket, that have great tools, that are gutsy and make big plays. How many times have we heard winner thrown around about a quarterback by NFL teams? They care about that kind of stuff. Is some
we
of that evaluation
a,
flawed? Yeah, but it's still not Stidham.
The NFL has such a difficult time admitting. Well, no, not the NFL. I think the NFL is actually better at this than the media. But the media, I think... And I wonder if local positive college football coverage plays a big role in this. But like we have a difficult time just accepting that a guy can't play. Like he just yeah. can't play. He's not an NFL player.
Look at
you know what I'm saying?
We ranted about this.
Oh my God. I can't tell you how
He's
many
exhibit
so,
A.
My uncle's a Penn State guy. And I remember Hackenberg, this is during his junior year when he was just cheeks, was still telling me that Hackenberg's good and that Hackenberg's an NFL quarterback and that he needs to be drafted in the first round. And I'm like, let it go. You got to let it go.
Right.
You got to be able to look at guys and realize that they can't get it done. And I don't see, when I looked at him this summer, when I watched him last year, I just didn't see enough from Jared Stidham. I don't even know. I don't even know if Jared Stidham puts together a top 10 throws thing that would super impress me. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's never made good plays. He has made good plays. It's not like he's the worst. Like, it's not like this is Jake Browning type of situation where I'm not even sure Jake Browning should be starting for his own team type of thing. I think Jared Stidham's an okay college quarterback. I just don't think he translates. Nothing he does gets me particularly excited about his projection in the NFL. And I think, at least, that the NFL will end up feeling the same way about him. I don't see the prototype quarterback that the NFL ends up getting excited about. Maybe I am giving him too much credit, but you think he has a chance to go top 10? A good chance.
Do I think that?
Yeah.
Like from my own personal scouting, no. Like, but
do you think the NFL will value what Jared Stidham offers in the top 10? I know we're a long way off, but
I don't know, man. I mean, like, obviously what you're saying makes total sense, because when you look at kind of the tools that the NFL prioritizes, that's not really Stidham's bill. And so with that in mind, you would say they're probably, it's eventually going to even out and this guy's not going to be regarded nearly as highly as he is now. But
I think that's what will happen.
It only takes one team, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it takes one team to be dumb, maybe take him in the first round, and it's like, oh, see, he was a first round player. It's like, okay, well,
right,
they blew it. Yeah, I don't know.
A lot to talk about with him for sure. I imagine he will be a hot button topic for at least the rest of the college football season. If he continues to be on a downward progression, maybe we will all be kind of on the same page with him.
I don't even think he's a downward progression. I just think he's like plateaued. Like, this is just Jared Stidham.
He was bad versus LSU.
Well,
he's like, protect the ball and just make simple, you know, the game manager type. I mean, he turned it over twice and had, what, a third interception go over through a defender's hands.
Yeah, but I think good and bad games can all still a line of a plateau. Like, that just becomes who he is. I think he's just inconsistent. And, like, that's the line that you run with. So,
but this was, like, his opportunity to step up and be the guy in a huge game and make one drive, one first down at the end of the game to seal the deal. And he couldn't do it. He sacked himself. Back-to-back drives on third downs. No pressure. Panicked in the clean pocket. Ran around like a chicken with his head cut off. Sacked himself. I'm sorry. I'm out on him. I'm done with him. Moving on, baby.
You are sorry.
I'm not sorry at all. Let's talk about Shea Patterson. Little Southern Methodist action.
Bradenton's finest.
He honestly played well against Southern Methodist. Now I'm not ready to say, like, for sure a prospect. Let's watch out. But, you know, what I liked about it was Michigan opened up the offense. They finally protected him a little bit. He threw the ball down the field. You know, he varied some touch and velocity. And it was his best game for sure. I mean, I know it's Southern Methodist. We got big tests coming up for him. But I liked that Michigan opened up the offense, actually went vertical. And not every route was 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. So that bodes well for him. And they didn't just get him on these play-action rollouts. But you know, they got to continue to protect him, I think. He's not great under pressure, but he does have escapability, if that makes sense. Like, he's not great at keeping his eyes downfield and necessarily making plays, but I thought in this game, the few times that he was pressured, he did play well. So it was a kind of an eye-opening, you know, as I looked through these guys' tape each week, I was like, okay, Shea Patterson, like, I see you. See what happens when you shed the number 20?
What's he wearing now?
I just watched him. I can't remember. 8? Well, now you gotta, maybe?
Oh, is he? Is he down to single digits? I got to look this up.
Maybe I'm totally butchering that, but I thought it was.
I got to look this up. Who did they play? Michigan.
Michigan played Southern Methodist. I have it on my phone right here. Patterson.
Shea.
Number 2. That's what he's wearing.
Oh, he wears number 2 now?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, first rounder. No
going
question.
Top 10.
Number 2 is the best number.
I feel like I'd be remiss on this show if I didn't ask you about the performance of Dak Prescott on Sunday Night Football. Did it remind you of Malik Rozier?
Yes.
I thought Dak read the tweets. I thought that's how he played. He looked pretty
What,
good.
you thought he looked pretty good?
Against the Giants, yeah. I
Dude,
mean,
he had like 16 completions for 160 yards.
yeah. I mean, it wasn't like it wasn't
And the
like they asked
Giants
him
are
to do.
butt.
Yeah, the Giants are, but no doubt about that. I agree with that.
I think I saw your tweet and you were like, oh, something like Dak read the tweets. I'm
Well,
like,
he made like three really
what
good
did he make?
throws
Like,
back to back to back.
all right. He hit wide open deep balls to Tavon Austin for
No,
some, since Jackrabbit wasn't even
that was the
guarding.
first play of the game. You gonna claim Jackrabbit now that he blew it?
Who, Gator Great?
Oh goodness.
Norris Jenkins? Hey, did you
Seesaw
see?
player.
Hey, did you see what color string he had in his dreadlocks that game? Oh, orange and blue. It's
I
weird, man.
didn't.
Very
Well,
weird.
that is
Very
weird. Weird that he wore that. Weird that he
very
wore that color dreadlock and then got toasted.
man, very it's just, it's weird. It's just
Very
a
Lucchese
weird
Purifoy
thing.
like. Very
Weird man.
Jalen Tabor like. Very Quincy Wilson-esque.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Dak fan. I'm
No,
not.
I know. I'm not either. I did think he played well the other night, but like you said, Giants suck and
I think Dak can hit a deep ball.
Yeah.
And
I don't
it's
even know
about
if I
it.
agree with that.
But like, no, I mean, like, that's all Malik Rozier does is like he'll hit a deep ball sometimes and you'll go like, oh yeah, the great throw. And then you'll watch a bunch of other throws he makes and
You're really
they're bad.
tripling down on this Malik Rozier thing. Like, I don't like Dak, but this is slander.
You
This
know.
is offensive.
Sorry.
I'm here for it though. I'm very here for it.
Sorry.
I'm very
Sorry.
here for offensive things on the podcast. Okay, talk about another quarterback you hate, Brett Rypien.
I don't hate Brett Rypien. Brett Rypien is fine. I
My
just
man
don't think he's
averages like 30 yards of completion, dude.
just not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. I kind of agree
Watch the
with you.
tape. Watch the tape, dude. The ball takes a mile to get there. He airmails everything. He purposefully waits so every throw that he makes is an anticipation timing throw in which he puts a ton of loft on it so he can fit it in a basket, which, okay, great. I said that he has between the 15 and like 25 yard range, that like intermediate kind of throwing range,
You know
he
who he
can really
reminds me
throw.
of?
Okay, go. That's fine. Interrupt
Did
me. It's
you?
fine.
Sorry, no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No,
Finish.
it's fine. I interrupt you all the time, and that's my shtick, but you can take it this show. It's fine.
He reminds me of Case Keenum, and I feel like that may end up being a trendy comp. I haven't seen it yet, but
Yeah, that's fair.
do you think that's a pretty like high-end
Case.
compare, like for who he could be at his best, if
At
the
his
mental
best, I
processing comes
guess.
along?
I think Keenum has a better arm, even, but.
Keenum's arm ain't great.
Well, I know, but. Yeah, no, I that's a decent comp.
I
That's a
could
decent
see
comp.
it anyway. Like, guys that prefer to throw with touch than velocity.
And that's just so Brett Rypien.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
That's
Like, he
basically who they
will.
are.
There are, like, short slant and a few dig routes and, like, things. Or he'll do like a drag route or something, and he'll just straight up
Yeah.
throw it behind the guy when they're wide open. And he does it because he tries to like touch it. He can't fire it in there.
Right. That's, yeah. I think
He just got
they're.
to do it. He just got to do
Right.
it.
Yeah.
I think he's a
Well,
fine QB, and obviously he's going to basically have like every Boise State record there is. But
he's only what is no, he's a senior, so this is
yeah,
it.
he's a 4-year starter too.
He's ready. He's coming out.
He's going to be at the Senior Bowl.
Oh yeah,
100%.
for sure. Yeah, it'll be a big stage for him for sure. Drew Lock, did you catch any of this game?
Did not.
Purdue.
Did not. I just, man, somebody get that man a smaller, like, flak jacket that he wears around his waist. I'm
Why?
tired of looking at it.
What's wrong with it?
I'll be a man about it.
What?
Take
What's
the
this
hit.
like?
Take
Take
the
the
hit.
hit. Don't protect yourself.
No, absolutely not.
Be forced into early
You think wide
retirement.
receivers are sitting there wearing Kevlar? No.
I mean, they might be.
You already got the rule book on your side.
That's a good point. I
That was
thought he
my Drew
was.
Lock take for the week.
That's a pretty good take, a fair take, although I will say this. I think Drew Lock looks. If you're just judging off aesthetic right now with the quarterback prospects in this class,
Sure.
who's the top guy? Francois, obviously. Okay, that's
Correct.
a dumb question. Take for take
No,
France.
Drew Lock's got some
I
aesthetic.
think he looks the
He
part. You know,
does.
like
He does.
I think Jarrett Stidham just looks scared. I'm not down with it.
Man.
Herbert and Lock looked the part, and maybe that's why I like them both.
I think they do. And
But yeah.
I think Lewerke as well seems
Yeah,
like a
yeah,
fearless.
yeah. Yeah.
Lewerke is very much a fearless passer.
Okay, so
So.
Drew Lock wasn't great in this game, I didn't think, but he made several great throws, if that makes sense. So there were some
So Drew
like
Lock.
so kind of it was kind of no, I thought he honestly he was pretty accurate last year. I'd never seen, I mean, honestly, it was like up there with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson how many passes those guys dropped for him last year. And sure enough, second play of the game, clear touchdown to Emmanuel Hall right off his hands. I mean, he's 5 yards behind the corner. Lock hit him perfectly in stride right off his hands for it would have been six. So I was like, here we go again. Then as the game went on, I didn't think, you know, Lock was never even touched. I mean, Purdue, I don't even know what they're doing. They dropped eight in the coverage and rushed three like the entire game, and he just chilled back there. I like that he doesn't panic, really. Like, he'll move through progressions. It's hard to say without the all 22 how well he's seeing the field, especially with eight guys in coverage a lot of the game. You know, so because it took him a while to make decisions, but I couldn't really see everything that he's seeing. So, you know, new offense, a lot of pro style concepts this year. I think that's going to help him move into the NFL, at least to be a little bit ahead
Does
of
he
the eight
move
ball
his feet
mentally.
any better this year? I haven't even watched him this year yet.
That's kind of what I'm saying is that like he's so serene in the pocket, which is good, but like there's no pressure, so we don't have to see him navigate a dirty pocket a whole lot. I didn't think he had to do it a whole lot last year either.
Jeez.
So that's.
Relegate Missouri back to the Big 12, please.
Well, they got the big test coming up this week. Georgia. I'm excited for it. Yep,
Oh.
noon kick. Noon kick.
Ooh, I'm in. That's a
I
good nooner. That's a really good nooner.
Right? I mean, last year Drew Locke gave Georgia a ton of issues. Now Georgia, Missouri can't stop anyone. So Georgia's going to score like at will and I'm sure win. But Drew Locke threw the ball. He played really well against Georgia last year. Really well. One of his best games. I'm excited to
That's
see what he
good.
can do.
It's good.
Yeah. So again, I think he's a prospect that has, to me, like he's, if the NFL, I think they'll be highest on Justin Herbert. And if Haskins comes out, I think he could get kind of that buzz just because I think Ohio State looks
You want to
like,
touch on Haskins real quick?
yeah, like, okay, so let's just TCU game. What stood out to you? I know you watched some of it, right?
No, I thought Haskins was good. Obviously, it was his toughest test to this point, but even then, TCU, I hope is not the toughest defense that he's going to face. And so, you
No.
really, I think with Haskins, the important thing is he's just a redshirt sophomore, right?
Yes.
So, adversity is the biggest thing for him because it's really easy. Like, obviously, Haskins is a really talented kid. He can put the ball where it needs to go. He's got the arm strength. I mean, he had that one pass in the back of the end zone that absolutely should have been caught, and he should have had another touchdown on him.
Yep.
So, I mean,
Probably
the
had
stat.
six drops. Six drops. That
I
sound
mean,
right?
right. He didn't really get much help that night.
No.
The stats are going to be phenomenal for Dwayne Haskins, but it, like, for me to really sign off on him being a prospect that I would vouch for at the NFL level, I've got to see him go through adversity because I think a lot of times we can see these young dudes have incredible starts to their careers in college football, and you just don't know. Like, sometimes they peak early. Like, you'll see like a sophomore, for example, play really well, and then you'll go like, man, I wish that guy was draft eligible. I would totally draft that guy. And then, you know, you see him at the end of the year, they go through some tough tests, including the bowl game. They come back in the next season and they just don't necessarily look the same, or they're not dominating the way that you thought they were. And I think going through adversity, having that whole like I'm the man target on you is a big deal, especially when you're a quarterback. And I think that we can get caught up in these young guys who capture our attention for even good reasons, like Haskins is. But for me, I think the big thing is I've got to see what he's like mentally and even like in a bounce back when things go wrong. Because I do think he's really talented, but I think that's a
How
really,
lunch
really
pally
important
is
part.
he? That's what you got to
How
see.
lunch pail is he?
Yeah.
Is that the term? Is that the scouting
That's the
term?
term in Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's all they care about is
Okay.
quarterbacks
Oh, of
next
course
year.
it is in Pittsburgh.
Right.
That's
He could
y'all
throw.
probably still actually use lunch pails.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not personally here,
Do
but
you have a lunch pail in your house?
I do not. I don't even know what a
Not even
lunch. What's
in
a
the
lunch
house?
pail look
Not
like?
even, bro. It's like a, I don't like a, t like a basically like think of a mailbox, but that opens up and you've got a handle. That's a lunch pail to me.
Why would anyone own that?
To me, every single person that lives in Pennsylvania owns that
Man, you
exact.
got some weird, messed up ideas about Pennsylvania. Now, I'm not even caping for
You have
Pennsylvania, but
three in your cabinet. I know it.
I don't even. I'm send me a picture of a lunch pail right now. Like I'm picturing like a bucket. Isn't that what a pail is? PAIL. That's like a bucket. Why would anyone carry around their lunch in a bucket?
I don't know. You live there. You tell me.
I'm telling you, it doesn't happen. I don't even know what that is.
And I'm telling you, you're a liar. You're lying on the pod to all of our friends just because you don't want to admit that you've got a lunch pail.
I want you to send me a picture of what a lunch pail looks like, and then I'll tell you if I've ever seen one. Because if it's truly a bucket, I have no idea. I've never seen that.
I'm about to send you this.
Send me the picture. We'll see it. Meanwhile, while you're doing that, my thoughts on Haskins, I think it's going to be fascinating to see if Ohio State has great success. He obviously is a great team around him. I think they're clearly the best team in the Big Ten this year. I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, it's not close.
And so I think that there's a real chance they run the table even, maybe. And obviously lock in a college football playoff spot. I think they're better than Clemson. I could definitely see them winning the national championship game. If that happens, does he ride that wave of success? Even with a great team around him, they got two great running backs. There's a lot of talent, obviously. Where does the NFL fall on him? It's going to probably depend a lot on interviews. One-year starter, went through this whole thing with Mitch Trubisky. There's going to be a lot to kind of evaluate with him based on just this season and where he's at mentally. So the whiteboard, the interviews, is he ready to be a leader? All that stuff will happen. We're obviously getting way ahead of ourselves with him, but I think he's super talented. I would like to really study his tape to see pre and post snap what he's seeing, but I thought he was very accurate in this game. He made some throws in big situations that were very impressive. This was the first time really all season. What they say in the beginning of the broadcast, he had been pressured like twice in the first two games. It was insane. This was the first time he'd been hit. TCU blitzed him. They showed some different pressures. He responded as the game went on. I thought the second quarter was a little bit shaky. Second half, he responded, and I know he got some help from his friends, too, on the defensive touchdown and block punt and all that kind of stuff. But I still thought he did a really nice job taking care of what he could control and making sure TCU had no way back into that game. So I was impressed for sure. Yes, there will be better, even better tests moving forward, but this was a really great answer of the bell, I thought, in a big-time game for Ohio State. So I think there's a chance he comes out. Okay, so you sent me a lunch pail.
Hold on. I got a better one.
A better lunch pail pick?
Yep, I just sent it to you. Every single person in Pittsburgh has that, including you.
Wait, are you
I
just...
I tweeted it to you.
You're tweeting me straight up at me.
Yes. So people can listen to this podcast, and then they can go see it and be like, wow, you're right. John totally uses that every day.
I've never seen this before. It even has black and gold on it. Did you just Photoshop those words in gold onto this?
I swear I didn't. To make them Steeler colors. And the reason why is because I type in lunch pail in Google, and that's the first thing that comes up.
Pittsburgh colors. Black and gold. Man, that's a really beat-up looking lunchbox.
You got to bring your lunch pail.
I value my lunch more than whoever would carry their lunch in this thing. That's disrespectful to lunches.
Depends on the lunch.
About that. That's been, you know how they do those why your team sucks articles every year?
Yeah.
Well, they did one on the Steelers a couple years ago. I laughed so hard, dude. It talked about how like Ben Roethlisberger, even as like lunch pally as he is, just isn't lunch pally enough for Pittsburgh people to like him. And just like, it was just hilarious. I'll have to send it to you sometime. It was such a funny article because it was like exactly what Pittsburghese people say. Like every time they lose, it would just be like, he's just not tough enough. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? It was years ago. Now they're a little bit kinder to him, but it's funny stuff. All right, there's our thoughts on pretty much the quarterback landscape. There were other thoughts. I didn't get to see the Justin Herbert game yet. Hopefully they get it up on YouTube so I can check it out. But it's kind of where we stand right now in the quarterback class. To me, still no clear... I love this guy, and I think he can be a top quarterback in the NFL. I'm just not there on anybody yet. I was hoping to see a little bit more growth from everybody probably than I've seen so far. Definitely tools and traits. I don't think it's lacking in terms of talent and upside. But I think in terms of finished product, to me, I'm still wanting more. We'll see. We'll see what happens over the second half. To me, Josh Rosen really established himself over the second half of that last season at UCLA as my QB1. So I'm looking forward to see what happens with this group moving forward. Tomorrow we talk more college football, maybe dabbling a little bit of NFL talk as well. We've got some fun stuff lined up for the show. Thursday we pick our games as we always do. We're also going to talk about some Josh Allen and some Sam Darnold on Thursday, so looking forward to that for sure. And Friday we got the Super Show with the guys. Yeah, we're going over the draft, dude. So should be a fun time. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.